I'm Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is September 7th, 2013. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's article, Pro-Choice Slave Masters Are Losing the War, by Matt Barber. He begins, the pro-aborts are losing. They know it. And they hate it. Matt, abortion is legal. You lost the war in 1973. The proof that it is you people who hate it is in the fact that you have to resort to violence and murder in order to discourage law-abiding citizens from exercising their legal rights. He continues, as LifeNews.com reported in January, CNN released the results of a new poll showing a majority of Americans want all or most abortions prohibited, a clear pro-life majority. Matt, Life News seriously misled everyone with its biased reporting. The actual poll results showed quite a different story. The fact that you people have to distort the facts proves that you are getting ever more desperate. The poll reported that people who believe all abortions should be allowed rose to 35%, 10 points higher than the previous year. People who believe abortion should never be allowed dropped 6 points to only 15%. What do the other 50% think? You know, the ones that you tried to lump in with the pro-lifers? They said that abortion should be allowed in certain situations. For example, rape, incest, danger to the mother's health, etc. Matt wrote, indeed, the winds of life are blowing free the foul stench of a pro-abortion culture of death. Matt, not in this country. Perhaps you're referring to Kenya. He said, this is why President Obama and his fellow pro-abort zealot, HHS Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, have unilaterally, arbitrarily, and unconstitutionally forced through Obamacare every taxpaying American citizen to fund free abortion on demand. Well, Matt, now you're just making yourself a sitting duck with blatant, easily disproven lies. Obamacare was not unilateral. It was passed by Congress. Obamacare was not unconstitutional. Maybe you missed that Supreme Court decision while you were vacationing in Kenya. And there is no such thing as abortion on demand. You are simply lying. Come on, Matt, you used to be a boxer. Keep your guard up. You are making this way too easy. He wrote, this draconian overreach is in perfect keeping with the 2012 Democratic National Committee platform, which, for the first time, admits without shame the Democratic Party strongly and unequivocally supports Roe versus Wade and a woman's right to... And then he used ellipsis to cut some words out and finish by saying, abortion, regardless of ability to pay. Matt, the real shame in this battle belongs to those who murder doctors who are performing legal medical procedures. Those would be the people on your side, Matt. Matt wrote, Psalm 8:28 commands, defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. Matt, you tried to use scripture to defend a fetus, but you quoted a verse that referred to the fatherless. How could you make such a boneheaded mistake? It sounds like you may have taken one too many to the head, dude. That verse also tells you to help the poor, yet your Republican Party does everything in its power to help the rich at the expense of the poor. Matt, some advice. Next time, don't be so lazy. Find a verse which at least doesn't contradict your positions. He wrote, "To be sure, there can be none more oppressed than the tens of millions who over four short decades have been and will continue to be slaughtered within the safe haven of their own mothers' wombs." Matt, how come you don't have a problem with your God ordering his goons to rip the fetuses out of their wombs and run swords through them? I see a double standard there. I guess murdering fetuses is okay with you as long as the killers receive their orders from your murderous, butchering ghost. Matt continues, "With its 1973 Roe decision, the U.S. Supreme Court put the government's official stamp of approval on mass murder." Matt, you need to look up the definition of murder. It doesn't apply to unviable fetuses. But the story I just gave you from the Bible, now that was mass murder, because they couldn't shish kebab the fetuses without killing their mothers as well. Matt wrote, "Since then, the battle lines have been drawn. This is war." Matt, you people turned your legal defeat into a war when you started killing doctors and bombing clinics. Let me guess, Jesus is on vacation in Kenya? He wrote, "They, pro-choicers, are the bad guys, while pro-lifers are the good guys." Matt, now you're writing like a little kid, which for you is actually a step up. He said, "It really is that simple, that black and white. It's good versus evil." Matt, it is always that simple with you religious freaks. That's how you rally all the other religious freaks. You have to keep it simple. He said, "History will reflect as much." Matt, if you people are so good at predicting, how come none of you predicted Roe versus Wade? Matt continues, "To the unenthusiastic mother, politically motivated abortion violence is deviously portrayed as an acceptable escape from what may seem a desperate situation. To the innocent child, it is without fail and without due process, execution by torture." Matt, now you're demonstrating the biological ignorance that is rampant in nearly all ghost worshippers. Matt continues, "Consider the horrific practice of partial birth abortion, innocuously tagged intact dilation and extraction. This is a practice so brutal and so needless that even the liberal American Medical Association admitted that it is never necessary under any circumstances. During a partial birth abortion, the abortionist pulls a fully viable child, often kicking and thrashing, feet first from her mother's womb, leaving only the top of her head in the birth canal. This is so the abortionist can technically claim to be performing an abortion rather than committing murder. He then stabs the child through the base of her skull with scissors, piercing her brain until her kicking and moving about suddenly and violently jerks to a halt. Next, he opens the scissors to enlarge the wound, inserts a vacuum tube, and sucks out her brains, thereby collapsing her skull. Her now limp and lifeless body is then cast away like so much garbage. Appalling, isn't it? Infanticide by any objective measure. So naturally, Mr. Obama, reasonable fellow that he is, agrees with the AMA, correct? He and other pro-choicers were the first to applaud the High Court when it upheld a ban on this Hitlerian practice, right? Wrong. Matt, what does Hitler have to do with partial birth abortions? Or are you just blatantly playing the Hitler card because that's what you people often do when the debate isn't going your way? He wrote, "Barack Obama unbelievably called the court's decision in Gonzalez versus Carhart part of a concerted effort to steadily roll back the hard-won rights of American women. In so doing, he revealed to the world that leftist support for abortion rights has everything to do with politics and nothing to do with science or health care. Matt, your side never bases its opinions on science, but only on biblically motivated politics. So you are simply accusing your opponents of the same thing that you are guilty of. Matt continues, "Moreover, consider Mr. Obama's opposition to the Born Alive Infant Protection Act. It passed both houses of Congress in 2002 with overwhelming bipartisan support. Born Alive very simply requires that when a baby survives an attempted abortion, when she is born alive, further attempts to kill her must immediately cease, and steps must be taken to save her life. Yet, incredibly, this president, while serving in the Illinois Senate, vehemently opposed the bill's Illinois twin. He complained that requiring efforts to save the live victim of a botched abortion is really designed simply to burden the original decision of the woman and the physician to induce labor and perform an abortion. Barack Obama's solution? Finish off the little pest. So prepare for Obama and other pro-aborts to go utterly berserk now that Arkansas has passed the Human Heartbeat Protection Act. It requires that when an abortion is performed at or after the 12th week, doctors must test for a fetal heartbeat before an abortion is performed. If a heartbeat is detected, a woman cannot have an abortion except in cases of rape, incest, or if a mother's life is in danger." Matt, Arkansas. Why am I not surprised? They would reinstitute slavery in a heartbeat if they thought they could get away with it. He wrote, "This is common sense stuff. The human heartbeat has long been indisputable proof of life, both within and without the womb. Matt, it takes a lot more than a clump of cells pumping blood to make a fetus viable. Terri Schiavo's body was kept alive by science long after her brain had died and withered away. A beating heart is not the sole criteria by which life is defined." He wrote, "Still, and not surprisingly, even as the state legislature was overriding the Democratic governor's veto of the new law, SB 134, the ACLU and other pro-abort radicals were vowing to challenge it in court." Matt, when Bible Belt states pass unconstitutional laws, which is not all that uncommon, you can expect that Americans will take them to court and force them to obey our laws. That's the price they must pay for losing the Civil War. Submission to civilization. He continues, "Matthew Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Council, has vowed to preserve it." Now he quotes Staver. "If asked, Liberty Council will defend this law without reservation, free of charge for the people of Arkansas, born and unborn." Matt, well, good for Staver. It's nice to see that he's willing to work for free. Kind of restores my faith in the legal system. He continues Staver's quote, "In keeping with medical advances, history, and common sense, the Arkansas legislature has said that the life of a 12-week-old unborn child with a detectable heartbeat is protected under the law." Matt, and in keeping with Supreme Court law, Arkansas will now have to prove its case before them, and they might not see it quite the same way that you do. He continues, "And well, it should be. SB 134 is just the beginning. Brave lawmakers in Arkansas have provided the template for other states to follow." Matt, I would have phrased that a little differently. Something like, "Ignorant, Bible-thumping politicians in Arkansas have once again entered into a battle to keep the Deep South in the Middle Ages as long as possible, before the rest of the country drags them out kicking and screaming." Matt wrote, "They are on the right side of history." Matt, instead of annoying us with your inane predictions, why don't you just open up a psychic hotline? He said, indeed, history has a way of repeating itself. Matt, what that means is that if you people try to secede again, you'll get another ass-whooping, just as bad as the last one. Last time, you lost your slaves. This time, you might not be as lucky. He wrote, the Roe decision was not the first time the U.S. Supreme Court has so disgraced our nation. Matt, you finally got one right. The biggest disgrace came long before. It was judicial support for the biblically approved institution of slavery. Matt wrote, Roe v. Wade represents the twin bookend to the court's shameful 1857 Dred Scott decision. In Dred Scott, the court absurdly held that African American slaves, even if emancipated, were not fully persons and therefore could never be considered U.S. citizens. Matt, and they justified their position with the Bible. He continues, likewise, Roe v. Wade ruled that children in gestation are not fully persons and are therefore not entitled to their most basic civil right, life. Matt, see what religion has done to your brain? You are seriously trying to compare adult slaves to clumps of cells and claiming they have equal rights. If you ever did take a biology class in your entire life, your teacher should be hunted down and executed. He wrote, as with Dred Scott, Roe's fate, I believe, is certain. It's just a matter of time. Matt, kind of like Jesus, huh? 2,000 years now, isn't it? Yeah, just a matter of time. He wrote, history will eventually judge Roe v. Wade every bit as harshly as Dred Scott. Matt, only if you people are successful at returning us to the Middle Ages. Unfortunately for you, every poll worldwide shows that your ancient death cult is crashing. Islam is projected to pass Christianity this century. The century after that? My money's on Scientology. After all, Scientology has Tom Cruise, while Christianity has you. Matt writes, call yourself pro-choice? Shame on you. Really, Matt? Shame on you? Matt Barber, body of a man, mind of a child. He wrote, you're no better than a modern-day slave master. Matt, forget the analogies. You are terrible at it. Slavery and abortion don't have the similarities you seem to think they have. And he concludes by writing, dump the garbage and join the right side of history. There's plenty of room over here. Matt, you're right. There is plenty of room on your side. As the CNN poll proved, when read without the life news bias, in the last year alone, there has been a whole lot more empty room on your side. And now we move to the science segment. Today, seeing starfish, the missing link in eye evolution. A study has shown for the first time that starfish use primitive eyes at the tip of their arms to visually navigate their environment. Research showed that starfish eyes are image-forming and could be an essential stage in eye evolution. The researchers removed starfish with and without eyes from their food-rich habitat, the coral reef, and placed them on the sand bottom 1 meter away, where they would starve. They monitored the starfish's behavior from the surface and found that while starfish with intact eyes head towards the direction of the reef, starfish without eyes walk randomly. The results show that the starfish nervous system must be able to process visual information, which points to a clear underestimation of the capacity found in the circular and somewhat dispersed central nervous system of echinoderms. Analyzing the morphology of the photoreceptors in the starfish eyes, The researchers further confirmed that they constitute an intermediate state between the two large known groups of rhabdomeric and ciliary photoreceptors, in that they have both microvilli and a modified cilium. From an evolutionary point of view, it is interesting because the morphology of the starfish eyes, along with their optical quality, meaning the quality of the image, is close to the theoretical eye early in eye evolution when image formation first appeared. In this way, it can help clarify what the first visual tasks were that drove this important step in eye evolution, namely navigation towards the preferred habitat using large stationary objects, in this case, the reef. Most known starfish species possess a compound eye at the tip of each arm, which, except for the lack of true optics, resembles an arthropod compound eye. Despite being known for about 2 centuries, no visually guided behavior has ever been documented before. And now we move to the final segment of the show, Famous Quotes. Today, Stephen Hawking. Since he has been previously quoted, I will give no biography. Here is the quote from Stephen Hawking, and it is regarding the subject of free will. I have noticed even people who claim everything is predestined and that we can do nothing to change it look before they cross the road.
Are you ready, Goose? Start walking.